Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
How many people have been enjoying this series that we are in? All about hearing the voice of God. I love this series. We're talking all about hearing the voice of God. We believe that God is still speaking, that God has spoken, and that God is still speaking as well. And there's many people who have been telling us, I'm loving this series, hearing everything that God has for us, hearing that everything that God has for you specifically, and knowing and understanding that God does not just speak to pastors, but that God speaks to everybody who is willing. That God speaks to everyone who is available. I love it. I love it. And I love hearing from so many of you that are just like spirit-filled activation people that are like, I cannot get enough of this. I'm inviting people to church like crazy because I want everybody to be activated in the things of the Spirit. And I know that you're enjoying it. And I've heard from a couple people as well that are just a little unsure about a series like this. Hearing the voice of God. What do you mean that you still hear from God? What do you mean that God is still speaking? Can you give me, what do you mean that you hear specifically from God? Like you have some kind of hotline to God where you can hear what God is saying. God already spoke. What do you mean that God is still speaking? Is this some kind of Joseph Smith situation? Is this some kind of David Koresh kind of situation? This is some of the feedback that I've been getting. Oh, yes. Oh, but let me be really clear. This is what we believe. God has spoken, and God is still speaking. We believe this to be true. We believe that God does not speak in a vacuum. God does not just speak to me. God will speak to anybody who is willing and anybody who is available. What that means is that his words are confirmed in a multitude of people. We believe this to be true. And we believe that always, I said always, always, that when God speaks, it is always confirmed with Scripture. Every single time, without fail, without ceasing. God is never going to say anything to you today that he hasn't already said 2,000 years ago. That if you cannot look to Scripture and find an underarching example of that, that it's probably not God. If you think that God is calling you to have an affair and to leave your family and to disrupt your family unit, that ain't God. If you think that God is calling you and speaking to you to harm somebody, that ain't God. If you cannot find an example of God encouraging people to do this in Scripture, then it's not God. We believe that God will always confirm because God cannot contradict himself. God will not contradict himself. And so anytime you're wondering, is this God that is speaking to me? That's why we're in this series right now, because we believe that God is speaking, and I need you to understand if it's God or if it's not God. How do you know if it's him, or how do you know if it's just the emotions that you're feeling in a moment? Does it line up with Scripture, or does it not line up with Scripture? Does it make you more like Jesus, or does it not make you more like Jesus? And no matter where you are in this example, no matter whether you believe that God is still speaking or whether God is not speaking, I'm so glad that you are here today. We can still be in relationship with one another. We can still be praying for one another. Matter of fact, I'm not even just glad that you're here today. I'm excited that you're here today because I know that every time that I have put God into a box, every time that I have said that God doesn't move in this kind of way, I've seen that God will do just that thing. Every time that I put a limit on God, God blows the limits off that thing. I used to believe that women could not be used by God in preaching. And then I married a woman preacher. I used to believe that God could not heal people today. And then I saw God use my hands to heal people today. Every time that I put a limit on God and thought to myself that God doesn't do this today and God is in this box and God doesn't operate like this anymore, God just blows the limits off that thing. I've learned enough times to never put a limit on God. I love hearing from people that tell me that God cannot do this. I'm like, well, if he cannot do this thing, then that kind of means that he's not God anymore. I believe that he was God, and he is God, and he's still going to be God. That God can do whatever he wants to do. I believe in the goodness and in the sovereignty of who God is. And you can tell me that God cannot do something if you want to, but I've seen him do it. And I know that he can do it. And so I'm glad that you are here today, because you're going to see that God will speak. And you're going to see that God can move. I believe it. I believe it. Let's pray. God, we are your servants and you are our God. And we ask today that you would speak to your servants. We are listening today. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Amen. Amen. Let's look at what God has for us today in Scripture. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6 and see what God is speaking to us specifically today. This is Genesis chapter 6. This is the story of Noah. And if you grew up in church, then you know all about this story. If you grew up in church, then you're already familiar with the story of Noah and what happens in the story. But for the benefit of everybody, let's go ahead and read this in Genesis chapter 6. It starts like this in verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Someone say faithfully. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. And God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all the people, for the earth has been filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. And then God gives Noah all kinds of examples of how he wants them to build this ark. And he tells him how big it is to be and how long it is to be and how wide it is to be and how high it is to be and every kind of animal that's going to be coming onto the ark. And then it says this in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 18. It says, but I will establish my covenant with you. And you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird and two of every kind of animal and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and to store it away as food for you and also for them. And Noah did everything. Someone say everything. Everything just as God commanded him. Noah did everything. Everything just as God commanded him. I don't know if you have ever been ignored in your life. Being ignored is an incredibly frustrating experience. I know one person has been ignored. Being ignored is an incredibly awkward and frustrating experience in your life because it essentially violates the way that we understand that communication is meant to take place. When you are speaking to someone, I am speaking to you and you are speaking back to me, and it's awkward and it's frustrating when you are ignored. It doesn't matter whether it's in a group situation. It doesn't matter whether you are by yourself. It doesn't matter whether it's intentional or it doesn't matter whether it is accidental. Being ignored in life is a frustrating and awkward experience. One of my favorite things to do in life is to get around a table with people and to eat good food. I love to eat good food around good people, and I love to enjoy conversation with them. And there's nothing that will ruin an experience like that for me as when I am trying to engage in the conversation and I jump into the conversation and I realize like 5 seconds into me speaking and I realize anybody listening to the words that I'm saying right now. And you realize really quickly that you are speaking, but now the people on this side of the table, they're having their own conversation and you're speaking and the people on this side of the table are having their own conversation, but nobody's listening to you. I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but it's awkward and you're really only left with two options. One, you can speak louder to try and get everybody's attention, or two, you can just stop talking and then just wait for a lull in the conversation or wait for a moment that you can jump back in and share the thing that you wanted to share. And the only thing that makes a moment like this more awkward is when you make eye contact with someone on the other side of the room and they see you make a fool of yourself, and now you feel like you could just dig a hole in the ground and die in, and they think it's the funniest thing in the world that you have started speaking but nobody was listening to you. Sometimes it's accidental when you're ignored. Sometimes it's in group situations. If you've been married for more than about 5 minutes, you know what it's like to have a partner that will ignore you. There are times in my marriage that Meredith and I will get into some form of intense fellowship, which is Christian for we're fighting. And the real reason why we fight is because sometimes she isn't the perfect woman that she told me that she was when we first got married. She's not the Proverbs 31 wife, and she doesn't live up to the expectations that I had when we got married. And so we get into these fights, and sometimes, you know, the fight gets resolved, but you're still not really talking to each other anymore. I don't know if you do this in your families and your relationships. And then I think that the conversation has been resolved, and I'll go back and I'll say something to her, and then she just ignores and walks right up out of there. We learned early in life that this is not a good example for a healthy, thriving relationship. She doesn't do it anymore because I've been training her well in what is appropriate for a loving marriage and how to treat her husband. I told you, I'm on like 6 cups of coffee, Meredith. I get to say what I want to say today. In front of her daddy, can you believe that? But it's a tough thing to be ignored, whether it's in a group situation or one-on-one. It's a frustrating thing to be ignored. I don't know if you've ever been married or been ignored by your spouse, or maybe you've been ignored by your children. Tell you what, there is nothing that will send you from 0 to 10 like being ignored by your child. I tell you what, it makes me think that there is no God when one of my children ignores me. When you tell them, hey, we're getting ready to go to church, I need you to put your shoes on, and then you go and do something else for 2 minutes, and you come back, and their shoes are still not on their feet. It doesn't matter whether they're young or whether they're old. Sometimes the ignoring just changes over time, because when they're little, they just don't do what they're told, and when they're older, they still don't do what they're told. And so maybe if you've got teenagers, you know a little bit about this experience where your teenager or your young adult has some kind of frustrating situation or has some kind of difficulty or some kind of issue, and you're like, I know exactly what they need to do. I've got the advice that I need to give them that's going to help them in their life. And so you sit down with them and you say, hey, if you apply this wisdom that God has given to me, then it will make your journey so much better. And then what do? They don't apply the wisdom and the logic and the experience that you tried to share with them. And so you're just left with a big, I told you so at the end of it. It's a frustrating thing to be ignored. It's a frustrating thing to be ignored one-on-one. It's a frustrating thing to be ignored in group situations. It's a frustrating thing to be ignored in general. And the reason is because it violates the expectations that we have of conversation. Like I said, conversation is two-way. Conversation is me speaking to you and you speaking to me. And at an even deeper level, conversation isn't just about speaking to each other. It's about conveying meaning to each other. It's about being understood. I don't just speak to make noise. I speak to be understood. Conversation is about me understanding you and you understanding me. And side note, this is part of what I love about our church, that there is two-way communication that is taking place. I love that when we are praising and when we are worshiping, that it's not people up here that are performing for you and for your benefit, but that we are all praising and that we are all worshiping, that the singing is not just for your benefit, that it's for God's benefit, and we all participate, that we all sing and we all clap and we all dance. And to worship here, you don't just have to sound good to sing into a microphone. Worshiping is not just reserved for the people that sound good. And dancing is not just reserved for the people that have rhythm. I'm the person that dances the most on a Sunday, and I don't got a lick of rhythm. I love to dance. I will dance before the Lord, and I don't care if it looks good or doesn't look good. I love it. I love to dance. I love to clap your hands. Clapping your hands is not reserved for the black members of this church. I don't care if you clap on the 1 and the 3 or the 2 and the 4. You better worship when you come to Cornerstone Church. You better worship. You better make a noise unto God. You better. It's true for the praise and for the worship, and it's true for the preaching as well. Preaching is not a 30-minute monologue that comes to you. If some kind of truth is preached to you, you better shout the preacher down. If some kind of revelation is released to you, you better shout the preacher down. Come on, somebody. If I tell you that God is good, you better tell me all the time. And all the time, what? God is good. Yes, He is. This is not some kind of monologue that I'm preaching to you. This is two-way conversation. This is what it means when we say that let us go up to the Lord's house. It's not let me, our Father who art in heaven. This is what it means when Jesus says that His church is His body, that you are a part of His body. You are not the body yourself, you are a part of the body. That means that you are either a hand or you are a foot or you are an eye or you are an ear, and you cannot function by yourself. You need other members. I dare you just to look around you right now, because you cannot function without the people that are around you right now. This is the body of Christ, and we are a part of the kingdom of God, that what God is doing is not happening solely through you. It is happening through His body. It is happening through His bride. I love it. That's why I love this church, because we understand that conversation is two-way. That this is not just one-way communication, that a church service is not for your benefit. I love when people tell me, man, the worship didn't really hit today. I'm like, you know it's not for you though, right? I don't really care too much about your opinion. I care about God's opinion. Did it glorify God or did it not? I don't care what you think about it. I care what He thinks about it. Well, Meredith didn't really preach a good message last week. I don't care what you think about it. I care what God thinks about it. Did it glorify Him? Did it honor Him? That's what I care about. Conversation is two ways. And I understand it can be a frustrating thing if you are doing all of the talking in your prayer life and you feel like God is ignoring you. I understand that. I understand that that can be a frustrating thing, that you are doing all of the expressing and you are reaching out to God and you feel like He is never speaking back to you. I understand that that can be a frustrating experience. The thing that I've also learned is that you take the thing that you have for granted. And if you don't have something, it makes you want it all the more. I know that if you feel like God is speaking to you all the time, that you begin to take that thing for granted. But if you haven't heard God speak ever, or if you haven't heard God speak in a long time, it makes you desperate for that thing. My parents live 9,000 miles away in Sydney, Australia, and I don't get to spend as much time as I want with them. That means that I don't take the time that I have with them for granted. It means that every time that I have an opportunity to be with them, I am there. Every time that I have an opportunity to jump on a call with them, I am there. I have a weekly phone call with my mom, and I have never been late. And I have never missed a weekly phone call with my mom. I might be late for other meetings, and I might be late for other things that are going on, but I'm never late for the thing that I'm desperate for. When you're desperate for something, you're so hungry for that thing. What that means is that when God does begin to speak to you, you are ready to move. You're ready to move because you know that when God speaks, it is not informational, but that it is invitational. When God speaks, it is not informational. It invites you into a transformational experience. When God speaks, it is not informational. It is revelational. When God speaks, something should move in your life. Every time that God speaks, nothing should stay the same. Whenever God speaks, something should change in your life. something's got to change. Every time that God has spoken, something has changed. Ever since the very beginning, when God spoke to the nothing, it became something. When God spoke to Adam and he said, I want you to tend the garden, he wasn't just giving him an idea of something to do. He was telling him, I want you to tend the garden. When God told Abraham, go into the land that I will show you, he wasn't just telling him one day, go. He wasn't telling him how to take a vacation one day. He was telling him, I want you to go into the land that I will show you. When God told the Israelites, I want you to walk around Jericho in silence. And then the last time, I want you to raise a mighty sound of victory. He wasn't just giving them information. He wasn't telling them about the playbook for how victory might take place in their life. He was telling them, I want you to walk around Jericho, and I want you to raise a mighty sound of victory and watch the walls come down. When God speaks, he expects for something to move. When God speaks, he requires for something to move. Same kind of way as when God spoke to Noah and told him, I want you to build the ark. It wasn't just an idea. He wasn't just telling him, here's a great blueprint on how you might want to build a boat one day. He was telling him, I actually want you to build this ginormous boat. And it's easy to respond when everyone is doing something. It's easy to respond when there's a precedent for something. It's easy to respond when something is trendy. It's easy to respond when everybody is doing something. I remember several years ago, I was in Japan. I was visiting my brother and sister-in-law who were living in Japan at the time. And actually, Meredith was there as well. And we're in Japan, and we're in this downtown area, in this courtyard area. And I looked across, and I saw this line of people that had begun to form. And I said to my brother, hey, why is everybody lined up right here? He's like, I don't know, but we can go ask them. So he walks over and he asks the person at the back of the line and says to them, hey, why are you lined up here? And the person responds back to him. I said to my brother, why are they lined up? And he said, that guy doesn't know. I said, what do you mean he doesn't know? And he said, yeah, like he just saw the person in front of him was lined up. And so he just decided to line up as well because he thought maybe it would be something for him. I said, well, can you ask the guy that is in front of him then and find out why is he lined up? So my brother asks him, and he gets the same answer back. I don't know why I'm lined up. I just saw people lined up, and I thought if they're lined up, then maybe I should be lined up as well. It's easy to line up for things when you see everybody else doing it. It's easy to want something when you see everybody else wanting it. It's easy to pursue something when there's a precedent for that thing. It's easy to dress just like everybody else dresses. It's easy to vote for the party just because everybody else is voting for them. It's easy to pursue the career just because everybody else is pursuing it. But it's far more difficult to pursue the thing that there's no precedent for. And when I say no precedent, I'm talking about Noah. There was no example in Scripture that we see that it had ever rained before. And so when God tells Noah, I want you to build an ark, I just imagine to myself what that conversation would have gone like to his family. Yeah. Noah walks into his family and he said, hey guys, I've just heard from God. And they're like, gather around, this is going to be awesome. Noah, dad, he's heard from God. Dad, what did God tell you? And Noah responds, well, what I heard is that we need to build an ark. And everyone's like, that's awesome, that's awesome. What is an ark? And Noah's like, well, it's a really, really big boat. They're like, okay, so why would we need to build a really, really big boat? Noah's like, well, because it's going to rain for 40 days and it's going to rain for 40 nights. And everyone's like, that's wild. That's crazy. What is rain? Well, I don't exactly understand what's getting ready to happen here. There's no precedent for what God had ever communicated to Noah. And not only would it have been confusing to his family, It also would have been the point of ridicule for everyone in his community. Every neighbor that Noah had would have made fun of Noah, would have criticized him, would have gossiped about him, would have joked about him. It's easy to do something hard for a day or two. It's far more difficult to do something hard for year upon year upon year. Scripture leads us to believe that it took Noah somewhere between 50 to 70 years of his life to build the ark. For 50 to 70 years, Noah did the hard thing when there was no precedence for it. And you think that it's difficult to do something for just a day or two. But I believe that God is calling you to do the hard thing for season upon season upon season. And I know that there's no example in your family lineage where you've seen someone graduate with good grades, but I believe that God is calling you to be the first in that lineage. I know that there's no precedent in your family where you've seen people graduate from college on time, but I believe that God is calling you to be the first. I know that there's no example in your family lineage. There's no precedence in your family where you are asset owners and where you're business owners, but I believe that God is calling you to be the first. I know that there's no precedence in your family, but I believe that God is saying you get to be the first. I know that there's no example in your family lineage where you've seen children born after the wedding and not before the wedding, but I believe that God is calling you to be the first. I believe that God is calling you to be a chain breaker. I believe that God is calling you to be a cycle breaker in the name of Jesus. I believe that there's never been someone in your family where you have heard that they are a good and faithful servant all the way to the end, that they enter into heaven having lived their life well. But I believe that you're going to be the first. I believe that you're going to be the first. I believe it. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen at some stage, and it might as well happen with you. You are a chain breaker, and you are a cycle breaker, and you're the first in the line of many. I believe it. Why don't you say that over yourself? I am the first. I am the first. I am a chain breaker. I am a cycle breaker. Come on, come on, come on. I love it. I love working with cycle breakers, and I love working with chain breakers. And this church is filled with many of them. When I look around, I see a room that is filled with cycle breakers and chain breakers, people who are living in a brand new way. When you think of those that went before you, it doesn't look anything like you are living today, because you are a cycle breaker and you're a chain breaker. And the beautiful thing about it is, what I love working with chain breakers is because you understand that when God moves, he doesn't always give you the thing that you want. That when God moves, he doesn't even give you the thing that you think that you need. That when God moves, he gives you the thing that you need, but it might not be the thing that you think that you need. You think that you need tables and chairs, but God does not provide you tables and chairs. God does not make tables and chairs. God makes trees. You've been praying for tables and chairs, but God does not make tables and chairs. God will give you the ingredients for the tables and for the chairs. Noah needed an ark, and God did not give Noah an ark. God gave Noah the ingredients for the ark. God gave Noah the environment for the ark. I love that when you're a chain breaker and when you're a cycle breaker, you know that you don't get the thing that you think that you want, but you get the thing that you absolutely need. That God will provide for you. He will supply for you everything that you need, not everything that you want. God will provide the ingredients, and God will provide the environment, and you have to bring your want to it. You have to bring your will to it. You have to bring your desire for it. You have to bring your grit to the equation. That God will provide the ingredients, and he will supply the environment. And when you bring yourself to the equation, their abundance begins to break out. Their miracles begin to break out. Their breakthrough begins to break out. But God isn't going to give you the tables, and God isn't going to give you the chairs, and God didn't give Noah the ark. God will supply the thing that you need, not the thing that you think that you need, not the thing that you want. He's going to give you the ingredients. I can't give you a good marriage, but I can give you the environment way you can have a good marriage. You can't give your children a degree, but you can give them the environment and a home where academics is valued. You can't give them the degree, but you can give them the ingredients and you can give them the environment. I can't give you friends, but I can give you the environment of a life group. I can give you the ingredients and I can give you the environment for you to bring yourself to the equation, for you to see the thing that you have been praying for. I cannot give you faith, but I can give you the environment where your faith can stand up. I can give you the environment of a room like this where we worship and where we praise and where you look around you and you see that my faith can stand up in this place because I've seen my brother over there go through something. I've seen my sister over here go through something and they're still praying and they're still praising and they're still declaring the goodness of who God is. I can give you the environment, but I cannot give you the thing that you've been praying for. God doesn't make tables and God doesn't make chairs and God didn't make an ark. This is part of what I love about the gospel, is that it is participatory. I know 100% that we are saved solely by what Jesus did for us. You have been saved because Jesus did what only he could do because we couldn't do it for ourselves. 100%. We've been saved by grace through faith. Jesus did what only he could do. He came as God to the earth, that he died, and then he rose back again. He resurrected for us as an atonement for our sin. 100%, I believe that to be true. But I also believe that it is participatory. I believe that we also work out our salvation. I believe that we are also saved by the belief in our hearts and the confession of our mouths. This is Romans 10:9. It says that we are saved by the belief in our hearts and the confession of our mouth that God is good and that God is the Lord. That's how we are saved. And I believe that it is a process that we get to participate in. I cannot heal you with my natural hands, but I have seen time and time and time again, when I feel the Holy Spirit move, I can put my hands on somebody and I've seen healing take place. I've seen ears open up. I've seen limbs come into alignment. I've seen pain be removed because I get to participate in what God is doing. We get to participate in the kingdom of God that is advancing here on earth. God chooses to do what he does through his church. That means that we get to participate in the process. I cannot save anybody myself, but I get to participate in the process. I get to help lead someone to Jesus. I get to help tell someone about Jesus. I get to pray for someone about Jesus. I get to invite that person to church. I get to participate. We all get to participate in the process of what God is doing here on earth. And I love that this gospel is a gospel not of information. This gospel is a gospel of action. This gospel is a gospel of transformation. I love that for many years I heard Bishop preach. Actually, I remember a season that he preached for what seemed like 12 weeks in a row. It seemed like he preached on the book of Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I began to write to you all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. To do and to teach. I don't know if you remember that series. I'm going to call it a series because it was many, many weeks in a row. To do and to teach. He preached these points. Do and to teach. Not to teach and to do, but to do and to teach. Let me do all that, Bishop. To do and to teach. That no offense, that's my bishop voice. To do and to teach. To do and to teach. So many times we want the information first. We want to learn first. We want the teaching first. We want to be told first. We want it to be explained to us first. And then we participate. But that's not the way that the kingdom of God works. Jesus began to do and to teach. You do first, and then he'll explain it down the line. And so many times we have the question, well, what about this? And I don't understand this, and I can't engage in this, and I can't do this, and I can't be involved in this. Do and then teach. Your faith will grow as you do. You will understand more as you do. We do, and then we teach. And I'm thankful that this is a gospel that we are involved in first, and that we understand more over time. Do not let your understanding cause you to miss out on what God is doing. Do not let your lack of understanding cause you to miss out on what God is doing. When God speaks, it is not informational. It is to bring revelation that causes you to move into action. When God speaks, response is required. When God speaks, he doesn't speak information, he speaks invitation. When God speaks, transformation is expected. When God speaks, a response is required and a response is expected. When God speaks, you better be ready to move. God is talking to you not just so that you can hear it with your ears. God is speaking to you so that you can move with your hands. When God speaks, it is less for your ears and it is more for your feet. When God speaks, you better be ready to move. Do not let one word of what God speaks to you today fall to the ground, because you needed more understanding, because you needed more learning, because you needed more education. Be ready to move. This is a church that is ready to move, that understands that when God speaks, that we will move, that when God speaks, we will run after the things that he has for us. Come on, if you believe that to be true, won't you stand up on your feet right now? We're getting ready to pray and believe that we are the community that is ready to move. God, I thank you that you are a speaking God. We believe that you have spoken and that you are speaking. God, I thank you that your words to us today always align with Scripture and always make us more like Jesus. That is our heart, God, that we would be more and more like Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, that you first modeled to us what it is like to do and to teach. We want to be those that are pursuing after your kingdom, knowing that your kingdom is a kingdom of action, that your kingdom is a kingdom of transformation. God, we want to understand more about you, but first we want to be those who are moved into action by our faith. And so, God, we ask today that you would grow our faith. God, we ask today that you would cause us to move, that when you speak to us, that we would not take it for granted, that we would not weigh it up like we weigh all the other voices that are in our head, that we would not weigh your voice like all the other relationships that we have in our life, God. But that we would be those that understand the significance and the magnitude that our Creator speaks to us. Let us never take it for granted. And whatever it is that you have for us today, whatever it is that you say to us today, God, we say that none of us will fall to the ground. None of it will fall to the ground, that all of it is good soil. And may it take a deep root within us today, God. As you speak to us, may we be more transformed into your likeness. May we be people who are loving on the outside and loving on the inside. I thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to co-labor with you, that we have to partner with you in the establishment of your kingdom, that we get to participate with you in what you are doing here on earth. God, speak to us. We're listening. Speak to us. We're ready to move. Speak to us, we're ready to respond. Speak to us, we're ready to be transformed. Speak to us, God, we're thankful that you're inviting us today into this place to see your kingdom established. We are your body and we are your bride. Holy Spirit, have your way with us in this place today, God. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen.